Imagine a story so familiar you think you know it by heart, yet so misunderstood it's been hiding its most radical message in plain sight for centuries. The parable of the prodigal son isn't just about a wayward youth who squanders his inheritance. It's a revolutionary text that completely redefines our understanding of God, grace, and human nature. When Jesus first told this story, he wasn't offering a simple moral lesson, but responding to religious leaders scandalized by his association with sinners. Through this parable, Jesus doesn't merely defend his actions, he turns the entire religious and social order on its head. The younger son's request for inheritance while his father still lived was essentially saying, "I wish you were dead." In Middle Eastern culture, this would have been an unthinkable insult. Yet the father's response, running publicly to embrace his disgraced son before any proper repentance, would have shocked Jesus' audience even more. This wasn't just forgiveness, it was a complete redefinition of how divine love operates. While most interpretations focus on the younger brother's journey, the true surprise lies in the elder brother's character. This seemingly obedient son represents the religious leaders Jesus addressed, those who believed their moral performance entitled them to God's favor. His language reveals his true heart. "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you." Despite living in his father's house, he sees himself not as a beloved son, but as a slave working for wages. His complaint that "you never gave me even a young goat" shows he's keeping score, viewing obedience as currency. He refuses to call the prodigal "my brother," instead saying, "this son of yours." His anger stems from rage at a system that doesn't reward his performance while forgiving someone who broke all the rules. This reveals the surprising twist. There are two ways to be alienated from God: through self-discovery, the younger brother's path, or through self-righteousness, the elder brother's path. The brothers represent two fundamentally different life approaches, both disconnected from the father's heart. The younger brother chooses self-discovery through breaking moral boundaries. "I determine my own truth." This path promises freedom, but delivers enslavement to appetites and emptiness. The elder brother chooses self-righteousness through moral conformity. "My obedience entitles me to blessing." This path promises security, but delivers anxiety, the constant pressure to measure up. What makes these paths mirror images is that both sons use different means to control their destiny apart from genuine relationship with the father. Both seek the father's goods rather than the father himself. Modern culture easily identifies the younger brother's lostness, hedonism, and moral rebellion. Yet Jesus suggests the elder brother's condition might be more spiritually dangerous because it masquerades as virtue. Self-righteousness blinds us to our need for grace. Have you ever noticed the parable ends with a cliffhanger? We never learn if the elder brother joins the celebration. This deliberate omission invites us to consider what a true elder brother should have done. In Middle Eastern culture, the elder brother should serve as mediator when family relationships fracture, seeking reconciliation between father and son, even at personal cost. But this elder brother failed completely, never searching for his lost brother or advocating for reconciliation. A faithful elder brother would have searched for his sibling in the far country, paid his debts with his own resources, and absorbed the cost of reconciliation himself. This missing character points to Jesus, who tells this story to explain his own mission. Jesus is the true elder brother who left his father's home, entered our distant country, paid our debts, and absorbed the cost of our reconciliation. His death on the cross representing the ultimate expression of elder brotherly love. The most extravagantly generous character is the father himself, who gives with abandon. He violates all cultural norms, running publicly, shameful for a dignified man, embracing his disgraced son before any confession, restoring him fully without probation, and pleading with his self-righteous elder son rather than demanding respect. His love operates outside normal boundaries of honor, merit, and restraint. This prodigal father represents God, whose grace defies our categories of fairness and deservingness. Divine love isn't measured or calculated. It's extravagant, even seemingly wasteful by human standards. It doesn't wait for worthiness, but creates worth through relationship. The Father absorbs the cost of reconciliation himself, suffering public humiliation, bearing financial loss, risking community disapproval. This points to God in Christ absorbing the cost of our reconciliation through the cross. This divine extravagance challenges both secular and religious mindsets, revealing that God's love can't be earned through performance, but only received as gift. The Father's feast represents complete restoration and joyful communion. The best robe, ring, shoes, and fatted calf symbolize full reinstatement to sonship. This challenges our fundamental understanding of salvation. Christianity isn't primarily about moral improvement or forgiveness, it's about joyful communion with God and others. Heaven isn't merely a reward, but a feast where we experience the fullness of love and belonging for which we were created. The Father invites both sons, showing this feast is available to all, but only on His terms. The younger son must accept grace rather than trying to work off his debt. The elder son must abandon his record-keeping and join a celebration that violates his sense of fairness. This feast imagery appears throughout Jesus' teaching. His first miracle at a wedding feast, his last meal establishing communion, and the Bible's final chapters depicting heaven as the marriage supper of the Lamb. When we grasp that we're neither the rebellious younger brother nor the resentful elder brother, but beloved children welcomed to the Father's feast, everything changes. Our identity shifts from performance to belovedness. Both brothers define themselves by their actions, but the Father defined them by relationship, this son of mine. Christian identity is rooted in being loved by God, freeing us from both perfectionism and endless self-actualization. Our approach to obedience changes too. The elder brother obeyed as a slave seeking wages, not a son secure in love. When we understand we're already accepted, obedience becomes response rather than requirement, flowing from gratitude rather than fear. This understanding transforms communities. Churches often split between younger brother tendencies, emphasizing acceptance without transformation, and elder brother tendencies, focusing on moral standards without grace. A gospel-centered community welcomes prodigals without condoning destructive behaviors, while challenging moralists without dismissing their commitment to truth. The parable challenges both traditional moralism and modern relativism, offering the third way of grace. It shows that performance can't earn God's favor, and that unfettered self-expression leads to emptiness. Jesus offers unearned favor that both forgives failure and transforms character. This grace addresses our deepest needs, to be loved as we are, yet not left as we are, inviting us to find our true home in the feast where we're embraced for whose we are, not what we've done.